This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
So many question marks about this team right now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How come every single time it seems they're nearing the red zone, Zeke's out, Pollard's in? Pollard was running on first and second, and then number 21 was coming out on third down. Where the hell was Zeke? $90 million?
Settle down just a little bit.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney. Nine-time Pro Bowler DeMarcus Ware. Co-creator of Netflix's Big Mouth, Nick Kroll. Plus, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Hawley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live on the air here from Los Angeles, California. Week 14 of the NFL season starts tonight. However, our first guest is Dabo Swinney of Clemson Tigers football.
All right.
So we've got college football on the brain. Also with Dabo joining, taking on Notre Dame in a couple of Saturdays from now. There's a national signing period that's next week. It's a big week. So there's a lot on the plate of the Clemson football coach, but the show is called The Rich Eisen Show, right? And
Unless I checked. I mean,
I did
this
work.
Is The Rich Eisen
yep,
Show.
That's confirmed. Confirmed. And I did work with Kilbourn for a while.
It's true, yeah.
So we're going to take a moment for us.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just wondering how Trevor's doing.
Are you just going to ask him that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How's Trevor?
There you go.
Yep. Wonder how he's doing, what he's thinking. Jets at Seattle, 0-13, staring him right in the face.
I mean, who's
sucking?
We don't know what Seattle team's going to show up.
Oh, we do. We do. There's no question about it. One that has Jamal Adams on it, right?
Yeah, well, that's that checked.
Yeah. At any rate, so we've got Dabo joining us, and DeMarcus Ware will join us as well, Pro Football Hall of Famer to be, and he will be in the unenviable spot that we normally place on NFL game day morning, Michael Irvin, which is he is held responsible for everything the Dallas Cowboys are doing. So we'll have a nice chat with DeMarcus when he joins us. The very funny Nick Kroll will join us as well in the third hour as we take you to Brother from Another, as we do every single day here on NBC Sports on Peacock. For those watching us, we say hello to you. And we'll say hello to Michael Hawley before we get out of Dodge, and he will take us to his show, Brother from Another, he and Michael Smith, every day right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. That is what we call, in the business, a table set. Table's all set. And speaking of which, tonight, we've got a table setter, do we not, here just up the road.
Yes, we do.
This is as close to Bill Belichick as you've personally gotten in quite some time. That stadium's just two exits north of here.
Yeah, I would say since media night at the Super Bowl in Atlanta, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, Brockman?
Yeah. It's a bummer we can't be there, Mike.
Del Tufo, have you ever mic'd him up?
Did we have him at a Pro Bowl? If we had him at a Pro Bowl, I did.
We definitely have never had him at a Pro Bowl.
Mike, because he's usually in the Super Bowl.
We had him.
That'd be the only time.
The first appearance Bill Belichick ever made on NFL Network was at our first Super Bowl in Houston when he was taking on the Carolina Panthers. And we had on NFL Total Access the first night or the second night we were ever did a show from the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick joined us in person, which is no question. Like, I didn't see the marks on his arm or if his shoulder was hurt at all, because that was no doubt a Bob Kraft arm twisting to say, hey, Bill, it's Super Bowl week. You're going to get out of the hotel and drive all the way down to the convention center and make an in-person live television appearance on the new channel for the network?
I have no explanation for what happened.
Yeah, well, that's probably what happened.
That's probably what.
And that was his first ever appearance on that network. But you were not Mike. Were you?
No,
Mike,
that was Rob. Them?
Okay,
that
so you were not personally Rob. There. Okay,
no,
but not on the set, micing people up.
Yeah.
At any rate, Bill's in town. Oh, he did serve notice on the Chargers last week. Oof. And now here we go.
Can they do it again?
Yes, they can.
And you think they got a shot tonight?
Of course they do.
Okay, man, yeah. I don't know. Short week. They didn't travel. They've been in L.A. all week. That's usually kind of not good.
We thought the Patriots season had already turned for the worst, did we not?
Yeah, 100%.
We thought that. Cam got COVID. We saw what happened when he was out. We saw how out of sync they were when he returned. Julian Edelman has been hurt. And we all thought that's that, right? Nope. Not yet. Is tonight when the worm finally does turn? Because 9 wins, we don't believe is going to cut it to make that to make the playoffs. I don't believe. Certainly, when you've got an 8-4 team in the Colts visiting a 7-5 team in the Raiders, meaning there's going to be one 9-win team coming out of that, or 2 8-5 teams coming out of that, and those are the teams you're going to still have to catch. This is a must win for the New England Patriots tonight. I know must wins are usually like if you lose, you're flat out eliminated. But if the Patriots want to come out of the old sniffing it column and get into that wild card column right here on the Rich Eisen Show, if they want to do that, winning tonight would be helpful. And that would be a problem for the Ravens because guess who's got a tiebreak over them, too? Telling you that Ravens conference record and having issues with a bunch of teams that they've already lost to, that's a problem. But so Ravens will be rooting for the Rams tonight. Just get I think the rest of the AFC is rooting for the Rams tonight. Just get the Patriots out.
Yeah, probably.
Get them out.
See ya. You're
probably right.
Everybody, all fans are already overlooking them. The rest of the NFL understands. No way. And the Patriots with, if you will, their backs against the wall. Short week here in Los Angeles. Now then, we already saw the Super Bowl 53 game plan on defense used to great effect against the Rams this year by Brian Flores, former Patriot coach in Miami. Did we not see that this year? Now, do the Patriots have the same horses, if you will, as the Dolphins? Maybe not. But we'll see it tonight, won't we? Different team, however, in for the Rams. And I have no idea which running back's going to go tonight. We have no idea. It's like Wheel of Fortune, you know. Certainly, for if you got one of these Rams on in your fantasy league, you know you're either hitting bankrupt. Or you hit 5,000 and you hit 5 N's or 5 S's. You know what I mean? Like, here we go. I can't wait for this one tonight. This is going to be great. Who is the proverbial one person, one player that Belichick will take away from the Rams?
Hopefully it's Aaron Donald.
I mean,
well,
better be.
It's usually Belichick on defense doing it to the opposing offense.
I get it.
Cup? Is that the guy? Don't let him get going? Is it Woods?
Yeah, Bobby Tree.
Maybe that's, again, that's the thing about the Rams offense this year is they're far more diversified.
Yes.
It's not just you got to stop Todd Gurley anymore. Can't wait for it. Big one tonight. Certainly when you look at the NFC playoff picture, the Rams keep going from like the 2 and 3 seed to sniffing it.
Right.
No, not sniffing it to a wild card. They're going back and forth depending on how Seattle's also faring and how they're faring. It's like nobody's going to run. We didn't think anyone's going to run away with the AFC, the NFC West. But it does appear to now be a two-team race there between Seattle and the Rams. And with Seattle taking on the Jets tonight, Rams need to come up with this win. Because with this win, they'll be 9-4, and doesn't matter what Seattle does against the Jets. They will just be 9-4 and sitting in the division lead going into the final 3 weeks of the 2020 season, where the Rams are going to be taking on the Patriots tonight. And then their next 3 games, they got the Jets themselves. And then that big week 16 game at Seattle, perhaps for the whole division shoot match, and then home for Arizona after all that. Big one tonight.
Big one.
And then, you know, when you look at the AFC marquee, can't wait for this week 14 to begin. first big shot, if you will be Miami hosting Kansas City, a rare early window game for Kansas City, usually in that late window marquee event, Sunday night, Monday night, just a plain old, if you will, 2 versus 6, Mahomes versus Tua on CBS. Going up against them at the same time, Vikings and Bucks, early window, Brady, rare early window game for him. 1 o'clock Eastern, Vikings at 6-6, just a game behind the Buccaneers. Vikings and Buccaneers. Here we go.
That's a sneaky good game.
Oh, baby. That's a very important contest for what's going on in the NFC, because as I've mentioned to you, do not sleep on the second place team in the NFC East. We all assumed that nobody's going to make it out of the NFC East very far, and somebody had to, and we would look at them sideways. My fourth down hot take this week is still hot, but I might pack it in ice a little bit to cool that one off if the Washington football team wins in San Francisco, a.k.a. Arizona, with Alex Smith returning against his former team. Even though he's not returning anywhere, but he's playing against his former team. Andy Dalton's playing against his former team. Phillip Rivers is back in the AFC West this weekend. There's a lot of happy returns or unfortunate returns, depending on who wins and who loses. Then in the AFC, you got 2 versus 6 to start it. Late window, it is 7 versus 8. Phillip Rivers back in the AFC West. Colts versus Raiders. You got that one teed up before one big fat Sunday nighter. 1 seed Pittsburgh at 3 seed Buffalo. The Monday night contest, 9 seed Baltimore at 5 seed Cleveland. It kind of obscures the top seed in the NFC, the Saints, visiting Philadelphia. Now, I would have circled this Week 14 game back in Week 4. I would have done that.
Well, because we thought the Eagles would be,
well,
you know, 9-3, 8-4.
We also, you know, at the time, it would be Wentz versus Breeze.
Right.
Now it's Taysom Hill trying to go 4-0 in place of Breeze being out. If that happens, and it should, if that happens, that means the Saints will have been 9-0 in games without Drew Breeze. Last 2 seasons. 5-0 for Bridgewater with a thumb injury for Breeze last year. 4-0. For Hill this year with Breeze coming back from a rib injury that we expect to see him back from against Kansas City in Week 15. But that's far down the road. We got a lot of marquee events in Week 14. And this one is Jalen Hurts versus Taysom Hill. And this is a big one for the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. A huge game. When is a game huge for a 3-8-1 team? This is it. Because they're 3-8-1 because they're, once upon a time, second overall chosen quarterback who has been chosen to lead this team deep into this decade based on the very rich contract they bestowed upon him early. And we all praised Howie Roseman for doing it early. They bestowed that contract on Carson Wentz, and he has just absolutely degraded into now a benched quarterback. For Jalen Hurts, and I can't wait to see this young man have at it. Meanwhile, as we're getting ready to turn the page to Hurts, there's still the review as to what has happened to Carson Wentz that he's benched against the New Orleans Saints in a must-have game. 3-8-1 for a franchise whose coach is now on the hot seat, whose general manager is now reported to be on the hot seat, whose owner is red hot about what's going on right now. Jason Kelce, the center of the Philadelphia Eagles, whose brother, by the way, Travis, congratulations to him, named the Walter Payton Man of the Year finalist for the Kansas City Chiefs today. Look at that, balling out on the field to the tune of 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons, first ever for a tight end, and he's now also in the community balling out. He is the Walter Payton Man of the Year honoree for Kansas City. At any rate, his brother Jason Kelce, who is a leader of this team, was asked about what's going on with Carson Wentz and what happened with Carson Wentz, and he reminded everyone it's a team effort.
Yeah, Carson has unfortunately not played well, so you know these are the situations that happen. But you feel bad that you know he's the sole one taking the hit right now. You know, obviously the entire offense has been terrible. You know, offensive line, running backs, receivers, coaches. You know, you aren't this bad unless everybody shares blame in this whole thing. And I think everybody here knows that. I know that Carson knows that, that this is not just him. You know, we got to do something. We got to try and spark some sort of difference. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting to get better, and we just haven't been able to do it. So, you know, obviously, you know, Jalen's going to go out there and get his opportunity this week. And, you know, he's a young kid that, you know, great attitude, went in at the end of the game and did some things. So we'll see how he does in a full game.
Tough spot for Jason Kelce because he's the guy, you know, when you talk about a center and a quarterback, those guys are as close as you possibly can get.
Yeah.
Physically, emotionally. I mean, literally, they're as close spatially as you can get. So for him to sit there and have to answer about Carson Wentz, and also, he's got to now snap to the next guy. I thought he handled that expertly, certainly with the flowing locks and the mullet and the beard and the whole thing working right now.
Now, is he getting ready to star in a Bob Seger biopic?
All of it.
Or Roadhouse 2? One or the other.
I don't know, but I usually use biopic, by the way. I don't go biopic, you know. Biopic sounds like I need glasses.
Look at that.
And I don't need glasses to see this. Here suits splendor. Of an individual.
I'm growing it out like that.
Even the eyebrows.
He's got it working.
It's tremendous.
I thought he handled that very dicey situation expertly. And then there's the issue about looking over the steering wheel, right? Because if this does work for Jalen Hurts, or even if it doesn't, if it just comes close, like if it's just like we saw some flashes or we see some flashes similar to what we saw when he came in for Wentz last week, when he started sparking the offense, and he was tough to put down, and he was tough to keep in the pocket, and he was doing things that Wentz wasn't doing. And they almost came back and tied that game against Green Bay, and then Aaron Jones put it out of reach. But does this mean he's going to be the starter for the rest of the season? Do you name that? Do you do that? What do you do? And the coach, who's no doubt just taking it one game at a time, answered that question with a different cliche. Listen for the phrase that pays.
What is your plan here going forward? Do you see this as something just for this week or what?
Les, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict the future, right? I mean, come on. I mean, that's, you know, all I can focus on is today and getting our team prepared today and getting our guys ready for Sunday.
I would love to come up and ask a head coach to do this for me. You know, Steve Kornacki's back on the set of Football Night in America this week and did promise that he would try and sneak in sniffing it in front of a nationally televised audience. I would love for a head coach to just say, I don't have a DeLorean. I can't set the date for the future. Crystal ball, it's kind of ancient. Like, you know, the new millennium. You know what I mean? Like a new millennium. New millennium's
going to
be
upgraded
like,
a little,
what's
right?
What's that about?
How about I don't have a hot tub?
Oh, you just took the words out of my mouth.
There we go.
You stole it from me.
I don't have a hot tub.
Listen, I don't have a phone booth in London.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have a phone booth. I don't have a hot tub. Like, what are we doing? Come on now.
I don't have a crystal ball. That's the way out of it.
Number two on your list, Rich, which I wrote down.
I don't have a crystal
ball. Favorite coaches cliches.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
You can control only what you can control, and I don't have a crystal ball. And the second one, you can only control what you can control, is substituted in times of OTAs and training camps when there are holdouts. For I'm only talking about the guys that are here. Those are your coaching cliches in the NFL. One game at a time is kind of like the 70s and 80s. That's so last century.
That's the crystal ball of phrases.
I don't have a crystal ball. Or should a head coach bring a crystal ball to the Zoom,
like, puts it over
and just say, hold on a second, because that was Les Bowen, I imagine, was asked the question in Philadelphia. Les, hold on a second, let me see. No, it's just, is this thing plugged in? I mean,
Parcells in the old days in Dallas when he used to go on the table, Rich.
Yeah.
Perfect for Parcells.
Oh, yeah.
Crystal ball right there.
Sit there and have his, like, his sessions table. Like he was the boss, and the media was Dr. Melfi, and he would just share. He would just keep sharing.
He would have been perfect for
like
that.
Like a session.
Maybe they should just bring a magic eight ball with them up to.
Yeah, and shake it.
Take a football magic eight ball.
Ask again later.
In all seriousness, he does have to see what Jalen Hurts looks like. I mean, because it. Go ahead and what were they really thinking? Hit that for me too, because I know you're. I'm just audibilizing here. I'm
what
Omaha
were they really thinking?
Because this is what Doug would have to say. Les, are you kidding me? You know, I stuck with the quarterback forever and a day. Do you see how much he costs? Do you see how much it would be dead money? Do you see how much it would cost us to have him as a backup? It would totally hamstring us. You know that the salary cap. For the first time in the history of the NFL, looks like it's going to be actually shrinking next year. I don't need a crystal ball to know that. I know it's shrinking. Are you kidding me? So it's now 3-8-1. We finally waited to this point in time, and now I finally do this, and you're asking me about what happens next? I just need to see him score a touchdown, Les, don't you? I mean, you've seen him in the media portion of practice. We've seen some flashes. I have no idea, but I'm not going to sit here and say Carson Wentz is the backup quarterback for the rest of the season. Then I got to talk to my general manager? Owner? Really? You want me to tell you now? And scene. It's probably what he wanted to say to him. No, he's just got to go reach in the old bag of cliches and go, Les, I don't have a crystal ball. Come on now. Is there a coach anywhere at any level? Call us at 844-204. It's either for your high school coach, Pop Warner. Do you have a crystal ball? I want to know a coach who owns a crystal ball. I have a crystal ball. As a matter of fact, I see the future. I see wins 16-0, man. That's a guy with a crystal ball.
Hey, man.
Jonathan Gruden.
16-0, man.
As Darren Waller referred to him earlier this week. Jonathan Gruden.
Should we, just spitballing here, Rich, should we come up with an Eisen Show crystal ball and send it to all the coaches?
No. What we need to do first is have a segment. We have a crystal ball.
Okay.
Predict the future. Brand it. Put it on RichEisenStore.com.
And we sell
it. Do not at all claim that it works, but it's a Rich Eisen Show crystal ball. Then send it out.
Love it. You know what I heard right there?
That's the plan. Cha-ching. We just hatched it. Spitball. This is our Lufthansa caper. Cha-ching. We have planned this caper. Like Maury the Wig Man.
Guys, should we try to update sports cliches that are a little bit old? Like the crystal ball and
let's spitball that in another time. I think we've just I've spent so much of my mental capital just on this moment right now. I gotta take a break.
We've gone from rags to riches.
We'll come back. We'll set the poll question up. Because Dabo Swinney is just getting out of a meeting with his AD. And he will be joining us later on in this hour. That's coming up shortly right here on the Rich Eisen Show. But back with your calls at 844-204-RICH. And our poll question of the day is just dynamite.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve and white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. Yes, indeed. Shop your head off. Go ahead. RichEisenStore.com. Soon to come, a crystal ball. You know what? If I had a crystal ball, I would look into it and see a crystal ball on RichEisenStore.com.
It's a great idea.
It's just a weird phrase. This way, just in the hunt. Also, like, in the hunt. Who comes up with it? You must, honestly. You know how difficult it is to get all networks on the same page about.
It's insane. Everybody uses it.
I still can't get an answer from somebody in the league office when I say, "Hey, I have asked people. I haven't asked the commissioner because I think that's that the decision of like everybody must use the phrase in the hunt on their playoff boards." Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio audience.
I don't think it came from Roger, right?
Well, it can't. Yeah, right. I mean, the whole decision of like when you're showing the playoff standings and on the left is division and in the center is wild card or however you put it on the board. And there's all the people chasing to try and get in the playoffs is in the hunt.
Still alive.
Like it's Red October, yeah. Right?
Still alive. Chasing
still
it.
Still alive.
But you can put it whatever you chasing. Want.
That decision was not Roger Goodell at 90,000 feet saying this is what it is. No, it might have been Brian McCarthy. It's definitely not.
No.
Him. He's got other stuff going on. He's not sitting. I've asked broadcast, NFL broadcast executives.
Like where?
Of the highest order. Where did it come from? And they all laugh at me like, oh, it's just you being you, huh? And that's funny. Like, no, I'm serious. Like, why does Fox, ESPN, CBS all in the hunt? And then they're like, what do you suggest then? And then I tell them what they suggest, and then I lose all credibility on the spot. Sniffing it.
Yeah. Well, you can't put still alive because that's technically everyone.
Right.
That's not officially eliminated, so they had to parse it down.
Are the Jets still alive?
No, they've been officially eliminated.
Are you sure?
Rich, they have 12 losses.
But I haven't heard like the official announcement that they're out.
Still alive.
Actually, it's on the official. It usually does say on the playoff possibility missives that are sent out by the NFL. I'll take a look at it while you set up the poll question for the day today, Chris. Dabo Swinney's going to join us in about 10 minutes' time here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you have over there, Chris?
Going to NBA today. I know there's a big NFL night. I come up with something else. But NBA hit me this morning when I saw Shams's tweet and article on The Athletic. Mm-hmm. That James Harden, you know, he has been entertaining a trade, asked to kind of be moved to either Brooklyn or Philadelphia. But he's added two more teams to his would-be destination list that he would accept a trade to. Milwaukee and Miami are now in the mix, according to James Harden and Shams. This is my question, though. Which team, however, if they acquired Harden,
yes,
would have the best chance to beat the Lakers this year? The Nets, 76ers, Bucks, Miami.
I like that one, sir. So, by the way, I just looked up on the playoff possibility email from the NFL. It just says clinched at the top. Kansas City. Normally, they would say such and such is eliminated from playoff contention. I haven't seen it yet. Although they have to be. So I didn't read Shams's piece. If there was an article, is this James Harden's representation telling this to the new front office of Houston that I want out, and here are the three teams I want to go to?
Pretty much.
Is that what it is? Is that the actual nuts and bolts of it? And because the Sixers, I think, is a pipe dream. They'd have to break up. That Embiid or Simmons would have to be the one sent in the direction of Houston in order to get him. And you've already heard Daryl Morey say over and over and over again that he loves these two guys. Now, he could be saying that just to drive the price up. He knows Harden. He loves Harden. And he wants Harden there. But the whole idea is that you win with Simmons, Embiid, and Harden, correct? That would be the idea, yeah, that you keep all three of them because you need all three to beat the ultimate, like what's going on in Los Angeles, I imagine, or at least win your conference.
Doc kind of reiterated that he was happy with the team that he had.
Of course. So, I mean, he's going to say all that stuff. Also, you can't talk about Harden.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to. He's part of the Rockets. You can't come out and say, yeah, we'd love to have him, and here's what we're interested in. You can't say this.
That's a quarter mil fine.
Right. You can't, I guess, gauge the level of interest on anything publicly said because they're not allowed to say anything publicly. It just doesn't strike me as, like, would Houston take Tobias Harris, his big contract, and who else? Like, I don't know how that would work. One of them would have to be named Embiid and Simmons.
Yeah, there's no way.
Which is why, to me, the Heat makes sense. Like, they could be able to pull that off. They got a lot of guys who I said they should not break up for Giannis.
But break them up for Harden?
I'm not saying they should. I'm saying that it's more – I'm trying to be realistic here.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I would rather I would rather break up the Heat for Giannis than James Harden.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, in reality, no matter what I said and everybody else who's come on here from Richard Jefferson to everyone else telling me I'm insane and I'm no longer going to die on that hill because I – hear what everyone's saying.
Rich, your word carries clout. Don't sell yourself short.
No, so what I'm saying to you is if Giannis is not walking through that door, and they'll know that, then maybe Harden is the person they want to go in that direction, and they have the pieces for it. Like, they can put together a package that Houston would say sold to. And, you know, so would Milwaukee, maybe. If I'm Milwaukee, I am selling out. Like, anybody not named Giannis and Holiday is available. Name it. Name it. Name it.
I would think they'd have to get rid of Holiday. You'd want a threesome of Giannis, Middleton, and Harden. I think that's good enough to compete with the Lakers, I think.
So you just acquire Holiday and you send him out the door?
Yeah, you acquire them to move him.
Okay.
But the problem with Milwaukee is
but
they
I
gave
thought
up.
They love Holiday. Holiday's the whole reason why Giannis is not going anywhere.
Right,
which
but
is why
Milwaukee
I bring
can't
it up
really
this way.
Make a move because they gave up all those first-round picks to get these guys in the first place.
Right, so Harden can sit here and say all he wants.
Right. Milwaukee doesn't really have the capital, draft capital.
Is Houston going to be the first team to say, you've got 2 years left on your contract, sir. We don't care what you say. And what happened to the whole thing that he gave John Wall the blue check mark to say, yeah, go get him?
Yeah, because they worked out together.
Yeah, what happened to that
right?
one?
Yeah. James Harden.
And then the Nets.
I
just don't know. I mean, so many NBA superstars have gotten their way, and because that's the way things work in the NBA, is you say, I want out, and I want to go play with Kawhi. Okay, Paul George. Well, I want out, you know, I don't want to be here anymore. Okay, Jimmy Butler. You know, that's the way things go. Who's going to be the first team to basically turn to the NBA superstar like they're Spalding and say, you'll get nothing and like it?
I want a hamburger.
Honestly.
No, a cheeseburger.
I want the Bucks. I want the Sixers. I want the Heat. You'll get nothing and like it.
Spalding.
Get your foot off the boat. You know, honestly, like, is that what's going to happen here? Because... what's the way out? What's the way out? You just play. Here we go. Let's tip it. Let's tip it. Christmas week. Let's go. Let's tip it. You're here with John Wall. We're all testing negative. Knock on wood if you're with me. And we're going to start playing the NBA season and not in a bubble with no fans. And Harden, you're going to be here traveling the country with a team you don't want to be with. And they're going to be fine with it. And everything's fine. And or is a blockbuster trade really going to happen in the next 10 days. Is that really what's going down? And John Wall gets his exit visas from Washington, D.C. and has nobody left there except whoever they bring in for Harden?
It doesn't
because seem like he was acquired with nobody else for Westbrook. He's just basically, they just swapped guys.
Yeah. Right? They got a draft pick, I think, back. But
tell me if what I'm saying is out of the realm of insanity here.
But that's not what the history of the league has shown.
Oh, and I would not, if I'm the Miami Heat coming off of that season, basically tell everybody, hey, that was really great in the bubble and we bonded and this and that. Yeah. And by the way, three of you are gone for James Harden. Let's see how this works. I wouldn't do that. Would you? If you're the Heat?
Do you have to give up Tyler Hero?
God, I love him.
You do.
Let me ask you this question.
Bam Adebayo.
Hold on a second. If you're Houston, wouldn't Tyler Hero be the first name you say?
Yes.
Even before Bam Adebayo? Wouldn't it be?
I think so. Just
for
the way
me,
the,
it would be,
the league's going.
I'll take the kid who can barely. Is he drinking age yet?
Ooh.
I'll take that kid. Okay. I'll take him.
Nope. January 20th.
There you go. I'll take the 20-year-old to start. To start. Now what? Now what? But Harden in Miami would be pretty damn big, too.
He would really boost the economy down.
Nice.
And what a blow for the Houston economy, yeah. for James to leave town. Yes,
man.
Boost the economy.
Think about the amount of young people who would, you know, great start poll. Going to secondary education.
Great poll question at Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break because Dabo Swinney's waiting for us on the other side, the head coach of Clemson football, DeMarcus Ware, Nick Kroll, and Michael Holly, and you. The rest of this Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on this radio station and NBC Sports on Peacock. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Lace up your boots. The Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3, starring Kevin Costner, is streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, you don't want to miss this epic season. Stream all three seasons right now.
Well done.
For the radio audience, Rich is taking a victory spin in his chair.
We're not on radio. That was just perfectly. Oh, no, we are on serious. Pardon me. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. NBC Sports Audio, my apologies. I did do a little victory spin.
Yeah.
But nothing. I don't know what's more enjoyable for me, hitting the sting or the post. I think it's
post.
The post. Hitting the post of a song.
Post is the post.
You know, like it's traffic, you know, traffic and weather together. You know what I mean?
On the eights.
On the eights. Or the nines right here. Rich Eisen Show. Yep, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
W-R-E-S.
W-R-E-S here on our program. Sirius XM Channel 211 every single day. NBC Sports on Peacock. And we're back here on the Mightier 1090 as well as all the Rich Eisen Show radio network friends of ours. We've got a pretty big name college football guest. Do you have one? Is he ready, Chris? Over
yes,
there?
He is.
As promised, he is the two-time national champion head coach of Clemson football, which is in its 12th year under his head coaching leadership. For the entire season, took over in the middle of the 08 season. At any rate, his name is Dabo Swinney here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Coach?
I'm great, Rich. Good to be with you.
Good to be. Yeah, you bet. So, what is a day of a coach like yourself with a national signing period next week when you're taking on Notre Dame for the ACC championship? What is your day filled with, Dabo?
It'll be a little different this year. The years past, you know, it's been during our bowl prep when we've had this day. So, you know, we just kind of had to balance practice and getting the signing day procedure done. And it's been fun. It's been good. This year is really different because obviously the season is pushed back. We would have been done a week ago or so, but we obviously are playing all the way through December the 19th now. So we've got a little different. But we are fortunate that we have an open date this week. So it won't be a typical game week. We'll be way ahead as far as our normal game plan, you know, procedure and process. But we'll, you know, typically we have a lot of people in the building, a lot of things going on signing day. We can't do any of that. So it'll be pretty simple. We're going to make it fun for our signees, and we'll probably start about 11 o'clock in the morning and involve each coach, and the whole thing will probably take about an hour. It's going to be really good. In fact, we just kind of went over our procedure this morning in a staff meeting. It'll be fun, but I am thankful we have the open date so that it won't be any more crazier than it needs to be.
So is it like a virtual run of show is what you're saying, or to announce who's signing?
Virtual run of show. We'll have you know, each coach involved. It'll all be, you know, we'll have a commentator that's kind of, you know, emceeing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have video of all the signees and comments on them from myself and the coaches, and do some kind of unique things, some neat things to really highlight these guys and make it a special day for everybody.
Who is, again, I just mentioned you're in your 12th full season as head coach there at Clemson. Who was the recruit that helped you I guess, put your foot in the ground and start going in the direction where we're seeing you year in and year out now? Is there a recruit, one guy? Who
well, yeah, I would say, ironically, the first one, I wasn't the head coach, but I did recruit him, and that was C.J. Spiller. Mm. So I recruited C.J., and then his junior year, in the middle of the season, we were 3-3. That's when I became the interim coach. And so, you know, ironically, I would have to say him. Again, I personally recruited him. So he was a huge part, no question, of me getting this job because, you know, he came back. You know, we finished strong. That team went 4-2 to finish up the season, and that gave me an opportunity to get the job. And then CJ chose to come back to play for me his senior year. He could have gone on and gone pro, and we won, led us to our first ACC championship game. We didn't win, but we won our first division title and got a taste of it in 09. And, you know, which was awesome. So I would have to say him. And then my first recruiting class, we signed 12 guys. I called them the Dandy Dozen. Mm. And those 12, because I only had a few weeks to go recruit, but I had a young man named Taj Boyd.
Yes.
Who could have really gone most anywhere. And Taj Boyd came in here and really helped lay the foundation for the program that we enjoy now and led us to our first ACC championship in 20 years, led us to our first BCS win, beating Ohio State in 2013, beating LSU in the Peach Bowl in 12, and really built a great foundation for Deshaun to come in here, Trevor, et cetera. So I would have to say Spiller and Taj Boyd and then Grady Jarrett on the defensive side. If I had to pick one guy, man, Grady Jarrett was a foundational piece to this program.
Dabo Swinney, Clemson football here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to the here and now. So you're taking on Notre Dame for the second time this year. And how would you – I had Brian Kelly on this week. I'll ask you the same exact question. How would you talk to the, I guess, front load, if you will, to the committee that if you lose this game – that you should still be in the top four when there are others that may not have played the same competition or even the same number of games, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really – obviously, that's a tough question to answer in my position because, you know, I mean, we feel like we're definitely one of the best four teams in the country, and there's nothing that's going to happen in that game next week for Clemson or Notre Dame that's going to change that, in my opinion, you know, and that's based on data. And I don't think that, you know, it's almost like, you know, you got to have 120 hours to get a business degree, and but yet, you know, these people over here only need 60 hours to get a business degree. I think, you know, anytime you step in between the lines in the game of football, there's a lot that can happen. A lot. I mean, heck, We in 2017, we lost to a 3-win or 4-win Syracuse team and still went to the playoffs. You know, so anything can happen. Guys can get hurt. There's a lot. And so I think the fact that we're going to have 11 games, you know, as well as the SEC teams. I mean, you look at Florida and Texas A&M and Alabama. I mean, these teams are going to have 11 games in this year. It's incredible. And, you know, I think the Big Ten, I think, had the same opportunity, and they chose not to play. And I think the only reason they ended up playing is because of the leadership of the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 and have demonstrated that we could do it and do it in a safe way. And it's been an unbelievably challenging season, that's for sure. But I think that, you know, the committee's going to have some tough questions to answer and things like that, regardless of what they do. And obviously, as coaches, we don't control any of that stuff. You know, so you know, I do think that our team has played incredibly well. You know, we had a double overtime loss at the number two team in the country now, Notre Dame. It was a great team and an unbelievable game. And again, no matter what happens for Notre Dame or Clemson, nothing changes in that in my mind as far as both of these teams being in the top four.
So again, I asked this of Coach Kelly as well, and he did to say the same thing. I'm just the coach. I had to point out that just like you, You are influential. You're an influencer. So you would have a problem with not making it, obviously. But you would have a problem, even if you did make it, maybe, that a team that played half the number of games would make it. Would you have an issue with that, Coach?
I wouldn't have an issue with it because, again, it's not my position to have an issue with it. My position is to coach my team regardless of whoever. And you hate it for – I just think that there has to be some type of standard. And, I just think it would be – if I was on a committee, it would be hard for me to leave out a 10-1 Texas A&M or a – or a 11-game Florida team, over a team that's played six games. That would be hard for me if I was on the committee, but I'm not on the committee. So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't mean they're not a great team and could win the whole thing. I just think that there has to be, I just think from a big-picture standpoint, I would lean toward rewarding the teams that have been all in.
So
because it's been an incredible challenge.
No doubt. It's been a unique season, as you had firsthand experience. By the way, I think I mistakenly received your Christmas card from Florida State, Coach Swinney. It's been a wild campaign. So what about the idea? And I know I'm spitting in the wind, but to me, Coastal Carolina, I'd love to see him get a crack against you, or Alabama. I'd love to see eight teams. I'd love to use this season in the same way that Major League Baseball recognized that they had to expand their playoffs and the NBA and the NHL had to reconfigure the way in which teams qualified for their playoffs. And just say, this is a different year. Let's get eight teams in. Would you take issue with that, or would you be in favor of something like that?
Yeah, well, I think that gets back into, again, now you're going to ask some teams to play 14, 15 games and some teams to play, seven, eight, nine games. And I think that's a real challenge because the totality of a season is – It's a different team after 11 games than after five or six games in every regard, mentally, physically, you name it. I think the word for 2020 is flexibility and, focus on what you control. And that's what we've tried to do around here. So, we didn't even know our schedule. We didn't even know who we were opening up with till mid-August. We're just excited to play. But I know this. I wouldn't want to extend our season. Next week's 20 weeks for us. 20. Typically we've gone about 13, 14 weeks. But we started at the beginning of August and didn't play till, mid-September. And now we're all the way to December the 19th. But we've been going since... We've been going since the end of July when they allowed us to start doing the walkthroughs, started practicing in the 1st of August. So I certainly wouldn't want to extend the season. I don't think that would be right for all these teams, like I said, that have been going for a long, long time. I don't think that's fair to the kids.
A few more minutes left with Dabo Swinney, Clemson football, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Coach, I don't normally wave my fandom preface a question, but this is very important to me as a Jet fan. How's Trevor? How's he doing? Is he okay?
Trevor's great.
Yeah?
He's
is he?
Awesome.
How's he looking?
He's awesome.
How's he looking?
Yeah, he's never been better. He's pretty special.
Yeah?
He's pretty special.
Hair's perfect. Everything.
Loves to play. Hair's perfect.
Okay.
Loves to practice.
Okay.
Yeah, likes the grind. Likes the grittiness of football.
Okay.
He's pretty special.
Is he at all thinking about the future? Do you guys have a conversation about what he's thinking?
We've had lots of conversations. Well, yeah, he's thinking about the future. He's thinking about December the 19th.
Oh, I'm looking over the steering wheel, sir. I look over the steering wheel, sir. I look over the steering wheel.
Yeah, he is going to graduate. He is going to graduate on December the 17th.
Okay.
So, at 1 o'clock p.m. So
okay.
I'm excited about that for him as well. And he's getting married next spring.
Where's he registered? Where's he registered, Coach? Because I'd love to. I'd love to send something.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you still do that? Do you still register? I don't know. You're gonna get him. You're gonna get him some. What's that stuff called? The fine china.
Yeah. No, a gravy boat.
Do people still get that?
He might need a. He might need a gravy boat. I don't know. Certainly to fill a candlestick or something. Well,
yeah.
You know,
he needs a saucer and a coffee cup.
That's what I'm thinking about. Just you know, because he is a fine piece of china himself, Coach. And there's a lot of conversation at the next level that he's looking at what's happening with a particular winless team and how dreadful they look, and would be thinking about not going to them if they draft him. Would you say that there's anything to such a conversation?
We've not had any conversation about that. But, you know, regardless of who drafts, don't you have to be bad to get the number one pick? Isn't that the way it works at that level?
That's the deal at that level. Yes, sir.
That's the deal. That's the way it works. So, I mean, regardless, you know, I don't think he's going to go to a Super Bowl, a team coming off a Super Bowl win. It's not like he can, out of high school, he was able to pick to come to Clemson.
Yes, he was.
You know, pick up from where Deshaun Watson left off. He doesn't really get that opportunity, regardless of what year he goes out. That's just the way it is. But I'll tell you this, regardless of where he goes, he's going to win because he's a winner. That's what he does. And he's going to be just fine. Whoever gets him will quickly realize just how special he is.
Well, I don't think you need to admonish any talent evaluators like your last quarterback, who has proven to look a lot like Michael Jordan in cleats, that you don't need to admonish them to dare to put a second-grade tag on this kid. It's there's a lot of talk that he wouldn't want to come. That just doesn't sound like him. I've never met him, but I've heard about him. I've heard in your voice, it just doesn't sound like somebody who would just not want to take on the challenge, potentially.
This is the most humble, easy to be around kid you'll ever meet in your life. I always tell people, I know he looks like Hollywood. Hmm. He's the most least Hollywood guy you ever want to meet. He is so low maintenance, blue collar, same guy every day, incredible focus, work ethic, love of preparation. I mean, he's Deshaun Watson. He's everything you love about Deshaun Watson. He's just 6'6" and a bigger arm. But he can run. He's got those same intangibles. Just a wonderful young man. Got it all together. You know, he's not afraid of any challenge, I can tell you that.
So he's
not when it comes to this game of football. He loves it.
So he's LeBron in cleats then, right? Would you say?
I don't know. You know, that gets him. That's a little different, you know.
He's 6'6".
You know, I like LeBron, but I'm an MJ guy.
Okay, so okay.
Get into some personal stuff there.
Okay. Well, I went personal with the Jets. So, I know you got to win a game against Notre Dame, and then you have some other games that you're hoping to play after that. Just take care of them. Tell them I'm thinking of them, and to be well.
Tell them to be looking for that coffee cup and saucer that you're going to send, you know, off his registry.
Yes, Bed Bath and Beyond. That. And he's the Beyond. He puts the Beyond in Bed Bath and Beyond, okay? Speaking on behalf of all New Yorkers, you take care of him.
Speaking of, you know, I always have gone for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I've always been at my mom's and my brother's, you know, eating with them. And my wife had to cook her first Thanksgiving full meal because we had to all be at my house.
Okay.
And I think it's the first time I've ever eaten on our fine china that we got, you know, when we got married going on 27 years ago. I think it's the first time I've ever seen it. I didn't even know we had it, but we got it.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure it costs people money, and, you know, we registered for that stuff many, many, many years ago. So thank you to all the people who gave us our nice plates and saucers and, I saw him for the first time.
Yes.
Thanksgiving Day.
It might be like algebra. You know, you might not know when you need it, but sometimes you need that sort of math in your head. You know, at some point it'll come, and like the fine china.
Yeah, x equals 2x. I think
that's you. Most got it. Time. You got it.
I think.
You got it. Enjoy checking on the X, Y's, and Z's for your game, and we appreciate the time as always, yeah. Coach. Thank you.
Yeah. All the best.
Same to you. That's Dabo Swinney. You bet. Same to you. Dabo Swinney, Clemson head football coach right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. You have a gravy boat?
Yes, Rich. Great. Of course you do. Every Italian does. It's a dual-purpose gravy boat for Italians.
All right, let's take a break. DeMarcus Ware is going to join us in hour two, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on Peacock.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.